There's the recording going. Okay. Thanks. So today's session follows an email that we sent just last week and then a previous email a little while ago regarding titles held by North North partner libraries that are in an Indigenous periodicals data set. So this session today will provide more information on the title lists, and we're going to be working with you to support you with our request for collaboration to validate the titles in this, sorry, to validate the holdings in this title set. Your participation, your library's participation is absolutely voluntary, but we're very appreciative to those of you who have already acknowledged or confirmed that your participation, that you're proceeding with your participation in this project. So thank you for that. Together, I hope that we can work towards collective stewardship of these materials that are held within our individual library collections. Okay, so beginning with a land acknowledgement, I'll begin with my personal sort of statement that I'm acknowledging that I'm meeting with you today as a settler in Ottawa, which is the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation. So as I mentioned, I'm head of the Cataloging and Metadata Department at Carleton University. And in my work and personally, I've been challenging myself to think very deeply about and to reject the colonialist viewpoints and socialization of white supremacy that is intertwined with the work that we do with metadata and technical services library workers. I believe strongly that we can make inclusive descriptions and decolonizing descriptions work part of our everyday work in our field. This work, of course, requires us to challenge the standards and practices that we use in cataloging and metadata work, and for us to acknowledge how our use of these standards perpetuate colonialist biases and racism. So in other phases of this project that we have planned, our team plans to work with existing metadata in this data set that we got from the OCLC records by improving them, by adding descriptive metadata that includes Indigenous scripts and languages, and also by applying respective terminology and subject headings. However, that's another phase, but the first step here today is for us to validate the breadth of holdings across the data set, and that's why we're all here today. This is the first of three technical sessions that will be held for this project. Dates and invitations for the next sessions, which will be kind of a drop-in style, will be coming out soon, and we'll have more information for you on those at the end of this session. So this session is being recorded, and we will circulate the recording and the slides to all of you afterwards. We're hoping that this will be interactive. So I'll be doing a lot of talking, and I'll be demonstrating the title lists and working through the columns. But please go ahead and add your questions or comments to the chat. I'll be pausing a few times as we go as well. So feel free to raise your hand at those moments as well as at the end when we have it open for discussion. Okay. So who are we and what are we doing here? So we're composed of various sort of elements of individual librarians from COPL as well as North Nord. So this data set was derived through the Indigenous Works Working Group, and Sheila and Jesse and Jillian were members from COPL and helped build this data set and bring this project sort of to fruition. Then there's the subgroup. So we were then approached through kind of our expertise in metadata descriptive cataloging to help and work on the data set to take it to the next phase so we can actually engage with it and understand the holdings better and understand the metadata better. So that includes myself, and I'm chair of this subgroup, Sheila from University of Saskatchewan, Aaron from Western, Matt from McMaster, Julia from U of T, and Sarah from U Alberta, who's recently joined us. And then, of course, we're all sort of facilitated and coordinated through Katya, who is the North Nord coordinator. So we're a small but mighty group, kind of coming together. Over the past, we kind of realized the other day, it's been about a year that we've been meeting, this subgroup, over the past year or so. It's been really fun, and we're really excited now to present these lists to you and work with you, collaboratively on them. In this session today, we'll be understanding the aims and scope of the Indigenous Works Project and its connection to that original Borealis data set. We'll learn how this project is being shaped collaboratively. We'll review the title list together and learn the specifics of the self-check information that we're asking you to enter. And then you'll also hear about the subsequent workshops that are focused on practical metadata improvement and data sharing. So those are kind of just like a drop-in style. So you might have seen this in our previous presentation, but I'll just give a little bit of a background on the Indigenous Historical Periodicals data set, where this all came from. So originated with COPL, which is the Council of Prairie and Pacific University Libraries, and the Indigenous Historical Publications Working Group, where they developed a data set of publications by and about Indigenous communities in Western Canada. So it's mainly initially focused on Western Canada. And this was done to support digitization and preservation efforts. And then they expanded it to a next phase to apply to materials across Canada. And so that's now been published in version 3 of the data set. And you can access that through the links provided on the slide here once we make those available. So this data set is a list of Indigenous periodicals, so newspapers, newsletters, magazines, and journals, and they're arranged by title. And primarily includes materials published in Canada, but it also encompasses some titles from American states that border Canada. The scope of this aims to include publications by Indigenous communities and organizations, and to try to exclude known material produced by governments and non-Indigenous organizations. So really the focus is Indigenous organizations and communities. The inventory represents known publications across Canada based on sources that we obtain from OCLC, and the known listings of these publications within our library community. All items in the list are held in Canadian libraries, archives, and museums. It's important to mention that this project has been completed with funding support from North Nord. And now the Indigenous Periodical subgroup, so the group, those of us that are here today, this working group, have been formed to further analyze the data and prepare title lists for circulation to holding libraries. So that's what you have now, or access to those title lists, and we'll be working through that today. One of the first steps we took as a working group was to determine the extent to which these materials were scarce. And what we're doing is using the determiner of three or fewer across all libraries in the data set. So basically, if there are three or fewer titles across the board per library, across the data set, we're determining those materials to be scarce. So not everything in your list you'll see will be things that necessarily need attention right away. It'll be the three or fewer ones that we're asking you to pay attention to initially. What we're hoping to work towards is that we get a good sense of what's actually out there, and determine a better understanding of how this metadata can be improved, and then work towards potentially some retention and stewardship commitments from your library. So you'll see kind of this little snapshot on the screen here. You can see that some libraries might only have a handful, one or two or a few scarce titles, where others might have a significant number. So definitely we appreciate that working through your title list, even if you're just looking at the three or fewer titles, it'll take some, much longer than others to complete that work. But this is, again, just the first step of getting that work going. And really the idea of this is just to get a comprehensive understanding of who actually holds what across the data set. So the other day, you in personally, or perhaps you were forwarded a title list, and in this title list are basically composes of several spreadsheets broken out by library, and that includes the titles that we've identified that you hold in your collection. So if you haven't already done so, please forward this list to the most appropriate person or team in your library who'd be the one to complete the recommended steps. Ideally, that would be staff who do shelf checks, who work in the stacks, or those who work with holdings and item metadata in your platform. So whether it be Alma or another platform that you use. And then also too, again, if you're forwarding this for information, please you can forward them this recording as well, because this will really be helpful for them as they work through the checks. And as I mentioned, what you're going to be starting with is the three or fewer titles that are highlighted in green in your list. So here I'll share my screen. Let's see how well I'm able to do this. And the find the title lists. Let me just make sure I have it open here, the right one. Okay, this should be it. No. Sorry. I might have to stop sharing and then reshare because I can't figure out how to. I just want to make sure I open up the right thing. Here we go. Oh gosh. Sorry about that. Hang on one sec. Now I can see what I want to share. Okay, so now you can see that I've brought up the title list here in Google Sheets. And I have it open to Queen's tab. So all the libraries are listed along the bottom here. So you would just find your libraries tab and then you can work directly in that list once you find your tab. So I have Queen's open here. And basically, what we've done is preceded the title list with columns A to G. So, depending when you're looking at your list, you might need to, expand or condense them in order to see the true picture of the titles that go after that. And so, these blank columns are what we're asking you to fill out. And then the columns that go after that are just the title list information. So arranged by title, and there's lots of other metadata elements included there. So verifying that and comparing that against ISSN or other identifiers will help you when you're doing your review. So Queen's here has basically they've already filtered so that they're able to look at all of their green colored titles. So these are all of their three or fewer ones. You can see that they have a good number there. But for some libraries, when you filter, you can see that only like one or two or three would pop up. So really, it depends on your library and your holdings. So let's see here. Again, what we're doing is asking you to go title by title, just to confirm that you have basically what we say you have, and that you're able to identify and validate some of the information when you're looking at the titles on your shelf. So when you're working through your list, you'll see if you just hover over the header of the column, there'll be a little prompt to kind of help you. But there's also that email that I circulated, and that'll be walking through with you today in terms of, helping you, figure out what you're supposed to enter in. So some might be a pre-selected, yes or no, or, an option to select, and some might be freeform depending on what it is. But if you just hover over, you'll see that there'll be a little prompt to help you as you're making your entering in your information. So I'm really now just going to work through column by column, just to kind of help guide you. And this is where I'll go through a few and I'll pause, see if there's any questions, and then we can go through the rest of them. Some of this might be quite straightforward, but I do realize that everybody's materials might look different than others. Some things might be a bit of a sticking point for you, or you're not too sure how to enter it. So we'll just kind of carefully work through this, and then we can answer any questions you have. So the first one is really, I think, most straightforward. When you go to the shelf, do you find it there? Is it where it's supposed to be? Again, we've found based on the OCLC holdings that, we say that you have it, but maybe you're not able to locate it. So are you able to find the material on the shelf or not? Yes or no? If it's no, then obviously your work is done for that title. And then maybe what I would recommend is that in the notes column at the end here, which is free form, you provide a little bit of like explanation or any sort of information that'd be helpful, like no, but we believe this was discarded, with a weeding project, or any sort of information that might be helpful. Say for example, it's in your catalog, but you don't find it on the shelf. That kind of information would be helpful for us to know. So whether you found it on the shelf, yes or no, would be the first one. So then if you find it on the shelf, yes, just to do a very quick assessment of the item's condition. Now this, obviously, these are periodicals, so you might have a great set of items per title. And just, I would say, just generally speaking, so you don't need to pull every individual item and do a great assessment, but just generally speaking, what is the condition of the material overall or as a whole? Are they very good, fair, or poor? I provided a link in the email that explains these columns as well, that I think links to like Abe Books, which provides some information on how to determine the quality of the condition of an item. But your library probably has its own assessment criteria that you use. So just use your best judgment to select, whether it's very good, fair, or poor. This is helpful for us to know because, potentially down the road, and this is not really right now in scope for this project, but we might want to move forward with digitizing these materials. So, obviously, knowing its condition, whether it'd be suitable for digitization, would be really important to know. Also, if there are like significant markings or damage or anything else like that, it'd be helpful for us to know that as well. As you might know, when you add in a 853 retention statement in the bibliographic metadata, there is possibility to add the condition there as well. And so again, like that might help you add in the condition when you're entering in that information down the road. So the next one is location of items. And this is where we just want to know basically, are these circulating items or are they in a special non-circulating location? Again, this might be kind of seem straightforward, but more complicated than it seems. Maybe partially it's in a circulating and partially it's in storage. And again, if there's any sort of contextual information that might help, you can add that in the notes as well. So you basically would just check whether it's in a circulating collection or a special collection non-circulating. So I'll just pause there for now. Are there any questions so far from anybody? I can't see the chat, so if Katya or anybody has anything to add, we're good? Okay. All
Actually,
right.
sorry,
Sorry.
I have a question. Some of the items that we that are showing on our list as that we own, we only have them in electronic format. So for those items, should we just say no, like not found on shelf, or and then put it in the note or something like that?
Yeah, that I would say for sure put no, and then in the notes say electronic format.
Okay.
And that's definitely an issue with the metadata and kind of like one of those known problems that we have when we're doing matching based on OCLC number is that sometimes it will think there's a match when really the content is electronic resource. Because you might maybe in your record you have multiple OCLC numbers, which is very common to have. And so it might be a combination of print and electronic in the OCLC number, and it caused a match on that. So, yeah, that's just one of the issues with the metadata, like the original metadata that we're working with, and one of those known things. But that's definitely where it's really important for us to know, okay, you don't actually have a physical copy of it. Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks.
And I think I saw Kyla has a hand up.
There's two more questions, Jen.
I see them. I see hands raised, which is great.
I have a couple of questions about the list. So when I filter ours for the light green column for our scarce ones, some of the things in the in scope column are N. So should we ignore the things that are not in scope, even if they've been given the light green color? Because they're clearly, I mean, gov docs.
They're gov docs. Okay. I don't know. Does anybody have, like, Sheila, would you know, or Aaron, sorry to put you on the spot, like, if should we be looking at those as well, or should they only be the Y or TBD in that in scope column?
How we can chat off this call, but like how much stuff is it?
It looks like there's one, two, three, four, like I don't know, four or five maybe. So it's not that many, but I since it sounds like government documents are not within the scope of this project, if we should just check them to be safe or
Sure.
ignore
Yeah.
them to.
If it was like a lot, I would say don't worry, but sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. So we'll do that with the Gov Docs. I also have a question about microforms. It sounds fat, microform. Is that considered within the scope of the collection? Or because I know some of them
Yeah.
from doing some initial work is just microfiche. Or should we check it and then just put a note and you guys can decide later?
Yeah, I think if you could check it, and maybe just put a note that it's microform, microfiche. I think that, again, that's another issue with the OCLC matching, is that it's pulling matches, same sort of thing with the e-resources. And so they might not necessarily be in print of what you have. So I'd say, again, like, without trying to make too much work for you and you're checking things that are outside of scope, it's hard to say until we kind of get our hands into these title lists to know exactly what you guys are encountering. So, yeah, I think if you could just like make a comment that it's microform, and then that would be just enough information for us to know. But really, because we really are just mainly focused on the print at this point. So I
Okay.
think microform like is out of scope. It'd be helpful for us to know that what you found is microform, if that makes sense.
Yes, definitely. And I have one more question. I know with some of these projects, because the lists are just generated by, computational methods, some of the reasons things are listed as scarce is because like we have a weird record that no one else
Yeah.
does, or we're not on the same record as everyone else.
Exactly.
If in our checking we find like, of course, we have this, we'll mark it, but also the reason it's scarce is not because it's scarce within the context of this list. And we're gonna just change the record to make it a better one or to put it on what everyone else has. Is that something we should do? Should we let you know about that? How should we proceed in that case? Because
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and I think we would love to know that information too. So again, like if we've coded it in green, it's because, again, like
Of
as you
course, yeah.
noticed,
The
we
computer
think it's
said.
scarce, but if it's just like crappy metadata, then just say actually not scarce. We need to fix this record, kind of thing. Yeah,
Okay,
it'd be
we'll
helpful
put
for us
that
to know that
in the
too.
notes
In
column
the
then.
notes column would be
Cool.
good. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Annabelle.
Hi, it's so nice that you're on my sheet because I can kind of talk through
Oh,
my problems.
yeah.
So as you can see, let's say for the first title there, Buffalo Spirit, it's listed four times, and some of the times they're four, oh, I think most of the time they're four different OCLC records. We have and so sorry, let me just start with some of the, like, let's say one or two of these, I can't remember, I went through the whole list. OCLC records are actually like electronic, and that's the one that we have. So for the other four, let's say for Buffalo Spirit, the other three titles, should I just say no to each one and then say, yes, I have this one that's associated to this OCLC number, but it's an electronic?
Yeah.
Because column T makes it seem like all of these OCLC numbers should be print, but In fact, when you go into
They're not.
wheelchair and you check them, they're not. Some are CD-ROM, some are microform, and it is on the correct record. So is that how you would, because I went through this whole list, and even though I have 53 titles, I actually only have 17 titles, which was nice.
Nice.
And then out of those 17, I only have three in print.
Wow.
So yeah, like the rest were electronic, and I had to do some OCLC work, but yeah, I was just wondering how you wanted me to approach that. Like, should I just say no, we don't have those, and then yes to the one we have electronic, but it's an electronic?
Yeah, I
Or
think because when we're looking at it, we can see obviously the groupings of the titles because it's arranged by it's sorted by title. So if you say the first one, like you mentioned, is electronics, you just say like obviously in the first column you'd say no, and then the notes say in electronic format. And then even if you did something like with the subsequent titles that are the same, do like see above or something like that, or don't have. So just so we know that they're. You know, that it's in relation to that first holding that we had the match on. Yeah, and again, unfortunately, that's just the joys of matching with OCLC and even ISSN is that we're going to have these kind of false hits, which is this whole exercise is why we need to have you do this. So, does that make sense?
Yeah, so it's not helpful for me to identify which title is the electronic OCLC on here. Like, you won't use that in the future. It doesn't matter.
No, I think to put initially which one is the electronic one, and then for the other ones, you know, if you just don't have them, or you like obviously they're just they're probably matches because they're all those OCLC numbers are all on the records that you just say, you know, see above is like what you have is the electronic and that's it.
Okay. Another question I have, and I know not everyone in here is in our Alma, but we have community zone records that are sometimes matching on the proper electronic OCLC record, and but sometimes they are matching on the wrong print record. So what I've been doing is in like OCLC, I've been actually moving our holdings over, but I mean, this is community zone records, so we don't really have much power to do on our side. Is that useful information to have to know as well, or is that kind of something beyond the scope of this group?
Yeah, I think individually it's up to the each library as in terms of what sort of metadata cleanup you need to do if you want to do. I think for our purposes, it's really just validating this title set itself, this title list itself, and so for us to know whether you hold these materials or not, and the condition and the you know the extent of the holdings and all of that. But so I don't think we need to necessarily know that you're then doing the cleanup. That you're finding, and yeah, again, if, I hope that makes sense.
Yep, that makes sense.
Okay, thank
And
you.
if I can jump in just briefly with a comment that I made in chat as well for others, I feel that capturing the digital records and letting us know which formats they are, we could ultimately add that information to the data set in Borealis once it's refined and once we can make it available through the Copal Borealis instance with the traditional kind of knowledge language tags to just expand on the completeness of the data set, but to indicate where digital surrogates exist, to indicate where there's a choice of format. And I think that's ultimately something that a lot of shared print programs are moving towards. So that would actually be extremely helpful, and your work would be very much appreciated.
Thanks.
And it also leads into like the kind of cleanup that you're doing and the subsequent workshops that we'll be having, or we call them drop-ins workshops, I don't know what we're calling them, will be working with Alma and hopefully other LSPs in the future to help you with some of that metadata cleanup. So, you know, I know at Carleton we don't have a lot of like we have our serials holdings and just a general statement, but we don't have individual item records per volume, and so we can like help you in the kind of next steps of enriching your metadata locally, and you know like you said like moving holdings over and all that fun stuff that weird and wonderful stuff that you can do in Alma and other systems to update it. And then ideally report that information back up to OCLC when you're doing a data sync. And so that the holdings are properly reflected. So it's kind of like step one, do we have the stuff? What is the extent of it? Step two, let's help you enrich the metadata, and that will feed back up to the data set. Okay, thanks. These are really, really good questions. Obviously, when we deliver this to you, we have no idea if any of this makes sense, and that we wouldn't know until you start looking at the things, what type of things you're going to be encountering. So this is really helpful. Okay, so if there aren't any other questions right now, I think I'll just move over to the rest of the columns. I think I ended at column C. So column D. Now this is, I think, obviously an important one. This is just information where you can enter in as best you can, like a summary holding statement. So whether, we seem to have matched that you have, say, volume 1 to 5, you go to the shelf and you're like, okay, well, I see volume 1 and 3. There's volume 5. We don't have volume 4. Enter in that gap, enter in the range that you have. Obviously it'll look differently depending on the volumization, the enumeration of the periodical. So, enter volume information when that makes sense, enter in the years when that makes sense, enter in the month when that makes sense. Obviously, working with serials, you all know that they're weird and wonderful things to work with in terms of metadata. So, yeah, just to enter in as best you can the holdings extent that you find when you go and find it on the shelf. And that's the information that we can help support you with in terms of building out, enriching your item information, and updating your holdings in future drop-in sessions. Okay, so the next one is Indigenous content. And obviously, this is very important because maybe once you go to look for it on the shelf, it's actually not. It might be just a government document that has nothing to do with Indigenous communities, not by or about Indigenous peoples. It's a different type of report altogether. Just select no if you do find that as you're looking at it, you're like, you know what, this isn't Indigenous content at all. So again, just to validate that we are finding the right things. So in this one, yeah, you would just include, I think I have options here of the entire publication is Indigenous content. Partial or single issue is Indigenous content. And you know what? I need to add one to say no Indigenous content. I just realized that. So I'll fix column E there. Okay. So the next column then is column F, and that's the language. This would be really helpful for us to know if the materials include any Indigenous languages. As I mentioned, one of the next phases for this project is we hope to supplement the bibliographic record by including the description in Indigenous language or script where that makes sense. So, if it's, in a language that we're able to translate and support or supplement the metadata and the record itself. Perhaps it's in English, perhaps it's in French, perhaps it's in both, perhaps it's a mix of various languages. Again, we don't need you to do like a whole extensive analysis of this, but just as best as you can tell, what is the language of the material? And again, we can use that to update the metadata accordingly. And then we got to the notes. So I think as you've already sort of getting a sense of, this is free form. Anything that might be helpful for us to know when you're doing any of the other completion of the columns, please just enter in that information there. And so whether it be, kind of referencing back, or maybe you can like include a link to the record that you do find instead, whatever, however you feel like would be helpful for us in that notes column, please just go ahead and add that additional information there. Okay, so I've made it through the columns, and I think we've talked about some of the, issues with the metadata that we know about. So obviously, the inconsistent matching of the OCLC numbers, that there might be false hits. So we're definitely aware of that. And that, as you see, there's multiple titles listed, but it might just be because, again, of that metadata matching. Yeah, I'd love to hear as you go. You can contact me at any point in time. Any other questions you might have? Any other things you're noticing that you might be helpful for other people doing this work to know about? I think we're all kind of collaborating on this list together, and so please do reach out if you have questions after this session. So I'll stop there now again. Do we have any more questions about the title list itself or working through the columns before we move on?
I don't see any questions in chat, Jen.
Thanks. As I just sort of referenced, this won't be your last time to ask questions, so that's okay. So nothing else is coming up now. Kyla.
Hi. Sorry, another question that kind of occurred to me when I was thinking through this list and what we're going to do at U of T is, where this material should be living long term, if it's especially very scarce material that we may have the only copy that we've identified anyways in Canada. Do you guys have any recommendations about that? Like, obviously, I coordinate Downsview, so I'm like, oh, we could put it all in Downsview, but if it's so rare that there's only one copy, should we be talking to our special collections colleagues and thinking about moving it into special collections? But then maybe that opens other issues of access if, that really limits how people can access and use it. So I wonder if these are conversations you've had or conversations you plan on having within your group.
Definitely, we've had lots of conversations about the retention and where these belong and the long-term preservation and all of that with this title list. So I think again, the first step is really just to understand, do we actually have these things? And so knowing that, an item is scarce, we'll be able to compare against everybody else's title list to say, okay, yes, oh my goodness, there's only one copy of a particular title. And then we'll probably, depending on the types of things, provide some recommendations to move forward. So I think Katya, you can speak to this a little bit more about, North Nord's, process for, retention agreements. And we do have, I want to make sure this is really important to mention that we, definitely again, depending on the material, but maybe for all the material, the community consultation will be really important. So is it even appropriate or do they even want a library to hold this material? Should it go and be, secured somewhere else with the Indigenous community? That perhaps, published the material in the first place, and that sort of thing. So there's lots of, avenues, in terms of the retention and the preservation aspect of it. So again, once we have an idea of, what the holdings actually are, then we can move forward with the safeguarding of them.
Yeah, and just to add to that, Jen, I think that once we can confirm, with across institutions as to which materials, exist, what is truly scarce, right? This is a part of this exercise. We can work with each organization. If there's an intention to put something in special collections, for instance, I think we could have a provision in our partnership agreement around materials that go into special collections and terms of access, whether it's through digital surrogates if they exist, whether it's on-site viewing only. There are models for shared print programs tackling special collections. And usually it looks something like this. There is a provision for access. Maybe it's on campus, maybe it is via, ILL, that's for more widely held materials, or maybe through digitization or digital surrogates. The complexity of this particular list is that it potentially has cultural sensitivities around some of the materials where we shouldn't be digitizing them. So really, these would be considerations at title level, one by one as we work through the list. But just kind of broadly speaking, within shared print programs, Kyle, as you know as well, right? There's some flexibility that we can lean on.
to work at support institutions that might be interested in accessing this content. But this is very much a phased approach to a project that's much kind of much more different from other projects that NorthNor has done in the past. So there's maybe a bit more layers in terms of the considerations in place.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's really helpful. And we'll wait to hear what you guys come up with.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so I'll stop sharing this now and I'll go back to our slides, which again I can't see, so I'm gonna have to stop sharing and
While you have
reshare.
a moment, there's a question in the chat
Oh,
from
sure.
Susan. If a title already has a committed to retain note from a previous shared print project, would we like this noted in the notes column? And I say yes.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to know for sure. Yeah. Okay, just bear with me while I'm switching back over to the
You're
slides.
doing great, Jen. You got
Yeah,
this.
I love. It's like, why is it every single time you do this, I feel like you're doing it for the first time?
Yeah, no, you're doing great.
Thank you. All right, so I'm now toggled to the right. Whoops, nope. God. Stop. Stop. Share. There's my presentation. Share. Lord. Okay. Okay. So you can see the screen that says completing self-checks and timeline, right? Thank you. Okay, so now after today, hopefully you have the information you need to kind of tackle your title list, get into the stacks, and start reviewing and entering in the information. At any time, if you have questions or once you've performed your checks for the three or fewer titles that are highlighted in green, you can send me an email. My information is just right there on the slide. Jennifer.browning@carleton.ca, and just let me know. So the timeline, as I mentioned, some of the libraries have, very few titles to check, or it might look like you have a lot of titles, but as Annabelle found out, once you check one, there's multiple the titles listed at the same. Really your list of 54 might actually be 17. It might take longer than others to do this, so we really are just asking you to start, whenever you're able to, and that would be just checking in. That's all we can ask for of you. So we do hope though that you do take this project and consider this project a priority. I know it's hard to squeeze in, these types of things amongst all the other things that we're working on in our libraries, and resources are tight, and time is always tight. But these materials really are, a priority suite of collections in Canadian libraries, and we really, do hope that you're able to, focus on this project, and work through it as best as you're able to. So that's all I can say in timeline. just let us know and check in as you go, and to help you with the checking in, we'll be doing some workshops, which we'll get to in a second. But now I'm going to hand it over to Kyla for just some comments on future directions. Or Katya, sorry, I had Kyla on
Thanks
the
so much, Jennifer. And thanks, Kyla, for all these wonderful questions. I was
Yeah, thank
thinking about
you.
Kyla as well and taking some notes. So to just kind of zoom out for a bit, and this has been a terrific session. We looked at the kind of the complexity of this data, reflected on, how this list, this collection were assembled, and then the different value propositions that a project like this offers. So by zooming out, I kind of wanted to take an opportunity to highlight some of these opportunities for future work and for what is happening here as a kind of a blueprint for working with Indigenous collections. So there's an opportunity here, I guess, to create this national inventory of Indigenous authored or Indigenous focused print holdings.
The question around digital format was an excellent one, because I do think that we are presented with a unique opportunity because it is a mixed format data set. Where digital surrogates might exist for print materials, we should definitely try to capture that information in a revised data set, which will be uploaded to COPL, Borealis instance, and COPL is our host institution for NorthNor. So all the infrastructure and kind of staffing support is through contributions from COPL, which we are grateful for. And so the idea here is that this could be a starting point to essentially collaboratively identify where the gaps exist, what materials are rare, at-risk community publications, and also figuring out these steps and workflows. There's layers of complexity with cultural co content that we are working with, so we need to make sure that we go slowly enough to have enough consideration and care throughout the process. We look at these collections, we kind of develop this community of practice around taking care of these collections, improving metadata. A lot of these things are a halo kind of effect from working in shared print space, where the benefits are improved metadata, discoverability. Suddenly, collections that weren't very visible previously become more visible, and ultimately, the goal is to co-develop whatever this stewardship framework is that we are reflecting on. It is definitely a temporary stewardship role, unless, there are materials that are government publications, and those have a place in this collection as well. Because if we think about what the purpose of this collection is, who the researchers are who might be interested in government documents, the Indigenous Works Working Group had a good conversation recently about the fact that, this collection is a bit of a mixed bag, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's also giving us an opportunity to try out, kind of working with different types of formats or working with different types of materials and to integrate them into a shared print project for, greater practicality and to make something like this higher impact and to be more useful. But the idea is to establish this kind of long-term relationship that support Indigenous-led decision-making about print preservation, to integrate these principles around access protocols. That's still a few steps down the road, but we are definitely thinking and reflecting on what that might look like. This could be even a guidance document developed by NorthNor and disseminated, where some of the work will have to happen at institutional level. Across partner institutions, there's only so far that we can take some of this work. But then, for instance, uploading the revised data set into COPL Borealis instance and integrating local context could provide with the right opportunity to have this open invitation for community members to work with us, to work with institutions that are holding these materials. So that's a really rich value proposition. And something that we could potentially do in the next year. And then thinking about strengthening visibility of Indigenous scholarship, I think this is very valuable. And that was kind of core to development of this data set by the COPL Indigenous Periodicals, Historical Periodicals Working Group. In surfacing these materials, in compiling, initially it was a Western Canada and then a national data set that covers content from Canadian American works, but content that was deemed to be relevant to Indigenous communities or researchers studying various areas and various topics. So some materials might not be Indigenous authored. They might be a special issue in a journal, like in a series and a run, but that one issue, including a lot of interesting, historically interesting information. And then we are constantly considering the value around developing this ethical data and records management framework. This is something that's been core and central to this group, and something that has been interesting to see
kind of grow and come to fruition as a current draft of ethical considerations when approaching this work. So please watch out for our presentation at OLA if you're attending OLA in January of 2026. There will be a presentation with a bit more information from this group as work continues. But please do consider this to be kind of that first step, a bit of a pilot, a bit of a blueprint, where we're engaging with holding institutions, we're engaging with different organizations, we're doing a lot of thinking and learning as well along the way in figuring out the right way forward, a good path for future projects to come, and potentially something that could be larger scale, and ultimately a larger impact. And value proposition for holding institutions, but also communities in making these materials visible. I'll hand it over to you, Jen.
Thanks, Katya. Okay, so now next, we're gonna promo our drop-ins that we will be planning for 2026, and I'll hand it over to Erin, if you're able to speak to that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. So Jen has been talking about these drop-ins that we will be hosting for 2026. So I was just going to give you a little context. Drop-ins are to support your institution's collaboration with Nord North in this initiative. And they would be in early 2026 focused on metadata work. So each drop-in would include time for like questions and answers, but also a practical workshop component. So, for example, in one of the drop-in sessions, we would like to have some short demonstrations of different tools that you can use to update your holdings or your items in batch. Perhaps in another of the drop-ins, we'd like to prepare a short presentation of the bibliographic data enhancements that you could do that would support projects just like this. Primarily, we're hoping to engage with catalogers and metadata workers, but I'd also say that anyone who is involved in the shared print initiatives should attend or could attend. It could be an opportunity to really just deepen your understanding of the data needs of these types of shared print programs. I will mention that the workshop aspects of these drop-ins will be run by three working group members from ALMA-based institutions. And so much of the practical guidance that we can give will be ALMA-centric at first. However, I would encourage participation from staff using other systems. I think that your insights and your questions can really help to guide us and shape some of the non-ALMA related workshop content that we could provide in support of your work in this area. And so I think I'll just stop there and end by saying that the drop-ins are an opportunity not only to ask questions, but also for the metadata community to come together and to share our expertise with one another as it relates to shared print collections. Two tentative dates that we have set for these drop-ins are February 18th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and March 12th, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so we're at the point where I think we're just sort of wrapping things up, so we can open it up to discussion and questions in a little bit. We just wanted to mention as well that Katja has been working on the website and updating all of our resources there as well. So you can go to northnordshareprint.ca for that information. Upcoming events will be promoted on the events page of the website. And again, the previous sessions that we've held, the most recent ones that we held back in October, as well as a session that was back in May, just about general discussion and perspectives on shared print. I can't believe that was back in May because I remember attending that. Man, time flies. But all of the materials will be made available on the North North website. So this session and the recording and the slides will be there as well. All right. So here we are at the end. Any other questions, be happy to hear them. Any other comments or anything like that, please do raise your hand or put them in the chat. We'd be happy to hear from you.